Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
After university, I went to work in New York. I was 23, 24 in New York. This is a time where you should be out a lot in New York City at 23. But I remember my friends saying, come on, it's Saturday night, let's go out. And I was just composing alone at home.
Hey guys, welcome to Breaking Beauty,
the podcast all about the best-selling beauty products and the damn good stories behind them. We're your hosts, Carlene Higgins
and Jill Dunn.
Welcome back to another episode of Breaking Beauty Podcast.
You're a longtime listener, we know, but just in case, on the off chance, somebody is listening for the very first time, I'm Carlene Higgins, and this is my co-host, Jill Dunn.
And hey, everyone.
And we are two longtime beauty editors with a face for radio, as Jill likes to say.
Hey, now, but we do clean up nice once in a while with the help of a lot of beauty products. But anyway, if you guys want to see what we look like, head on over to our Instagram, and that's at Breaking Beauty Podcast. And we're always sharing like product reviews on there, behind the scenes moments of filming.
And the contest.
The contest.
They're
the
honestly
events.
So good.
Yeah, you don't want to miss out on those at all.
You do not.
And join us in our private Facebook group too. We have a lot of fun in there. Just search for Breaking Beauty Podcast on Facebook. We share teasers of upcoming guests and poll our audience about what you want to hear. And that actually sort of informed today's episode.
That's right. We have a founder episode on the mic. We will have Killian Hennessy. He launched a line of niche luxe fragrances called by Killian back in 2007.
And it was recently acquired by Estee Lauder Companies. This brand, it's all unisex fragrances, and it's definitely, definitely an indie darling. It's really special. Its scents are not shy, and it's definitely luxurious, and the price points reflect that. Mm-hmm. They ring in around $300 a bottle, up to $800 a bottle. There are some travel sizes that you can get in on for a little bit less, but this is definitely luxury.
Yeah. So if you're one of those people in our chat room who was saying that you wanted more fragrance,
We are delivering.
On the episode, we are delivering today, honey. Mm-hmm. So the tagline of this brand is called Perfume as an Art. And it really holds up to that name because the bottles themselves, they are so gorgeous. Also, they have these carrying cases that some of the perfumes come in. And it's like a clutch that you can reuse and take to a party.
Yeah, there's like tassels on them. You will want to do, you will want to do like an unboxing properly when you get this. This is like such a good gifting fragrance line.
That's true.
Yeah.
So it's been around for a while. I think a lot of beauty editors have known about this line of fragrances, but it kind of popped off more online and started making headlines a couple of years ago because apparently Rihanna This is one of her favorite fragrances, comes from By Kilian. It's called Love Don't Be Shy. And that was really kind of controversial because, of course, she's got her own beauty contract. Mm-hmm. So she's not really supposed to be talking about this. So she's not an official spokesperson or anything, but you can Google it. You'll see.
Yeah. And I don't even think that she's been on the record herself saying that she uses this. But I know there's been a lot of interviews done and people talk about how good Rihanna smells.
Yeah. And so somebody on her, like an insider, spilled it.
These scents have an addictive quality to them, and they are very unique. They are complex in the best way possible. It's almost like old school perfumery.
It's so true. And that's a good way to put it.
A throwback to things that are not just like single notes and splashes. These have a depth to them that only like a very keen nose can craft.
Yeah. And also, you know, what, just going back to Rihanna's fragrance for a second, like that's a serious gourmand. I mean, you smell it and it's just, it really is like something that you want to eat, or as Kilian says, it's something you want to take a bite out of. And that's not something that everybody loves. Like some people are really turned off by
that.
And that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at some of the most iconic scents in the world and they took risks like that. So I like that Kilian is out there doing that. Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, the best seller, I would say, is probably the easiest of the entire collection to wear. It's called Good Girl Gone Bad. Coincidentally, not coincidentally, the name of Rihanna's album back in 2007, but I digress.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of a, wouldn't you say that's like a lighter
one
to wear?
It's like a crowd pleasing white floral, very beautiful, still complex, but much more easier on the nose, I guess, more of an everyday scent. I'm wearing it right now. It's very beautiful and soft. Yeah. And the packaging is absolutely stunning as well.
And so Kilian is going to tell us about more in detail about the notes and what makes that so unique, because he's definitely after crafting these very original fragrances. The brand is also launching a brand new scent. Mm-hmm. It is, I think it's already online now, but it's rolling into stores in October. It's called Rolling in Love, and it's a complete departure, he says, from anything that the brand has put out so far, which I think is upwards of 35 cents now.
Yeah, and it's all red. It's very bold, very striking.
You went to the launch last night.
Yeah, I did. And everybody was wearing red. Of course, I couldn't get my shit together to, like, you know, live up to the dress code of red cocktail attire. I'm wearing it again today. I really like this. It definitely has lasted on me. It is meant to sort of like mesh with your skin and be a bit of a second skin effect. So I am a fan of it.
Another thing that's really cool that By Kilian has launched, and you mentioned red last night. So last year, By Kilian launched a range of scented lipsticks. Yes. How novel is that?
Yeah.
Every shade is red. It's that gorgeous matte pure pigment, which I love. That's his favorite color, red.
I tried them last night and I thought of you, because they are this matte and rich pigment, and they are works of art, the tubes themselves. Mm-hmm. And who wouldn't want to pull it out at a dinner party? They're absolutely stunning.
So that was his first foray into makeup. We did ask if there's more to come. You're going to have to stay tuned until the very end to find out. We're not going to give that away just yet.
Yeah. And I think even if you're not a huge fragrance lover, you are going to love his story. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of family pedigree. He has a famous last name, Hennessy, of the LVMH, as in Louis Vuitton Moet Hennessy family, cognac. Mm-hmm. So a lot of his scents and bottles look like booze bottles, frankly, and definitely take some inspiration from there. We knew that there was going to be a lot of great stories behind someone who has such a famous last name.
So let's start there with his childhood growing up in the French region of Cognac. And here he is, Kilian Hennessy.
My name is Kilian Hennessy, and I am the founder and creative director of By Kilian Perfumes. And today, actually, beauty.
So exciting.
So whenever we interview someone, we also want to know a little bit about their childhood and their growing up. And given that you're, in the fragrance business, if you could bottle your upbringing, what would it smell like and why?
Well, there's three scents really that come to my mind growing up. One was the scent of tuberose flower, because all the women in my life always and only wear tuberose-based perfumes. Hmm. My mother only wore tuberose, her sister, my grandmother, my wife today, Like, I feel like I cannot get away from Tubeuse.
What were they wearing? These must have been classic
scents. So back then, it was Fracas from Piguet.
Okay.
My grandmother was wearing Poison from Dior. Today, my mother is wearing Beyond Love Prohibited, which is part of my collection. Mm-hmm. And my wife wears a bespoke perfume that I made for her for our wedding day. Built on tuberose, jasmine, and daffodil. So I would say tuberose is a big part of it.
Yeah.
Probably the scent of the cognac cellars, mm-hmm. which is oak, scent of oak, bubble, drenched in alcohol and sugar. And then there's another scent that comes to my mind, which is a combination of Eau Sauvage from Dior mm-hmm. mixed with pipe tobacco. Because my grandfather used to wear Eau Sauvage. He actually had these big bottles and he would wet his hair with Eau Sauvage. And when I would see him in the morning, he would always be with his pipe smoking, smoking tobacco pipe.
Yeah.
And there was a special combination of those two together. So these tuberose, tobacco, pipe, and cognac cellars would be...
Did you ever play hide and seek in those cognac cellars? That's what I picture when you say growing up around the cognac cellars.
Well, no, that was not allowed.
Dang.
So what was your house like? I know you had a really famous family.
Back in the 80s, there were still big balls in Paris. So I remember my mother, when she would go out, there was a lot of feathers in the hair and big hairdo and fur. And I mean, it was over the top mm-hmm. back then. Mm-hmm. And I wish that we would bring back.
Yeah.
You know, this feeling of a bit over the top parties.
Absolutely.
80s excess.
Yeah. Who doesn't love that?
Yeah. So your late grandfather was the founder of LVMH, Louis Vuitton Moët Hennessy. And he was also Killian Hennessy, we read. So what does the name Killian mean?
It's an Irish name. Mm-hmm. Because the founder of Hennessy, his name was Richard Hennessy, was an Irish soldier who came from Ireland to fight under Louis XV in the French army. And after the war, he settled in the region of Cognac in Charente, and he started a business that we used the local business was cognac. Mm. Mm-hmm. So we have this Irish blood in our veins. When you look at me, I don't look too much Irish.
No.
But you would see my brother and sisters, they're more blonde with freckles.
Jill, I am obsessed with this fragrance story because I love how it's just taking me away. I'm feeling French. I'm deep in the cognac cellars. But just like when you're sniffing a lot of fragrances and you need to give your nose a break, you sniff coffee beans. It's kind of like a palate cleanser. We're going to take a break right now to shout out one of our show sponsors.
On that note, I am literally sniffing coffee right this very minute. I've got my Four Sigmatic Mushroom Coffee with Lion's Mane and Chaga in hand. It tastes so good. I can actually drink this one black.
Oh, really?
And the blend of coffee with the Chaga and Lion's Mane mushrooms. Honestly, it's my morning go-to to kickstart productivity. It's great for brain health, and it's made with 100% Arabica beans.
Well, I'm drinking the mushroom hot cocoa mix with reishi. By the way, neither of these taste anything like mushrooms.
Good point.
I'm trying to stay away from having sweets when I hit the 3 o'clock wall. So I'm kind of cheating because this is sweet, but actually it's not too sweet. And it's good because it's got the reishi in it, which is said to help with sleep and mild stress. And that also works really well for me because if I were to have a strong coffee in the middle of the afternoon, guess who would not be sleeping that night? Me.
You need that beauty rest, so can't risk it. And it's so easy to use. I love that you can tote a packet of this around with you. All you do is rip open the packet, pour it into a mug, add some boiling hot water, and boom, you have your perfect cuppa. Great for your lazy / busy lifestyle, wouldn't you say?
It's like you know me.
And for all of our listeners out there, we have a special offer from mm-hmm. Four Sigmatic. So you can receive 15% off your Four Sigmatic purchase when you go to foursigmatic.com/beauty or use the discount code beauty at checkout.
Exclusively for Breaking Beauty listeners. That's foursigmatic.com/beauty or use the discount code beauty at checkout.
We'll link to that in our show notes. Now back to today's episode. an early age, did you know that you wanted to go into perfumery or did you go to university? Tell us a little bit about your journey to get where you are now.
No, actually, no. I discovered perfume by luck. I mean, I used to wear perfume when starting at 14, 15, but I think like every teenager.
What was your scent then?
Vetiver from Guerlain and Pour un Homme from Caron. There was not a lot of choices back then, you know. But in college, during my fifth year in the university, we had to write a thesis. And I chose perfume simply because I just did an internship at Kenzo Perfume 2 months before. So I was like, ah, I have a bit of documentation on perfume. It's going to go quicker. Well, didn't quick at all because the more I dived into it, the more I realized that if I wanted to write the thesis that I thought I should write, then I needed to do a no school in parallel with my fifth year in college, which I did. Mm-hmm. And when I started this training program, the first day, first hour, I was hooked immediately. You always hear that if you can find a job where you could actually pay to do it, then you actually would never work one day in your life.
Yeah, that's such a great expression.
And that was exactly that for me. Mm-hmm. I even remember when after university, I went to work in New York. I was 23, 24 in New York. This is a time where you should be out a lot in New York City at 23. Mm-hmm. But I remember my friends saying, come on, it's Saturday night, let's go out. And I was just composing alone at home.
Wow.
Because it just felt, I just needed that more.
Wow. And then you went and trained under some really famous noses.
I got really lucky.
The term in the business. So they're really the, as you say, composers of the fragrance.
Correct.
Who taught you the most and what was the lesson, the biggest lesson?
Oh, by far, Jacques Cavalier. So that's a funny story. When I was writing my thesis, I needed to meet someone, a perfumer. And my grandfather was a very good friend with the president of one of the big perfume houses named Firmenich. Mm-hmm. And so he set up the meeting. I go see this president, who was kind of a older gentleman, but quite funny. And he said, okay, I see you need to do an interview of one of my perfumers, but I'm not going to ask one of my master perfumer to lose an hour with you and those questions. So he called a young perfumer at the time. He was only 31 or 32 years old. And who came up? Jacques Cavalier. And Jacques Cavalier, obviously today, is one of the greatest nose in the industry and the in-house perfumer at Louis Vuitton. And Jacques became my teacher and my mentor for the following 10 years.
Yeah. And what's one thing you learned from him that you will never forget?
When you love an accord at the beginning, never to lose it. Because it's so easy to lose an accord. And sometimes you work with perfumers and you love something really at the beginning, the idea, what we call the accord, and then little by little you lose it. And it happens so many times because it's very fragile when I call at the beginning. And very often I go back to trial number one and I said, you know what, I just lost what I loved and I don't even know why. And I go back to trial number one, I said, this is what I loved. And sometimes we just finish it very quickly, going back to trial number one. But with Jacques, it never happened because when we love something, he always protects it.
Would you consider yourself a nose or more like a creative director?
Yeah, a creative director.
Yeah.
I could compose and I almost did. Like the perfume houses wanted me to become a nose. But what I felt is that I needed to cover or I needed to art direct all pieces, you know. A perfume is a bit like a movie. There is the script, but there is the acting, and then there is the light, and then there's the decor, the setting. I mean, you know, and then obviously the advertising and everything around it. So it's not only one piece. And perfume is the same, you know, it's the scent, but it's the name that expresses the emotion of the scent and the bottle and the box and everything that goes around it. And I knew that. So I thought that I would be frustrated if I was only in charge of one aspect.
Were you ever working alongside somebody where the initial idea of the fragrance itself was amazing and perfect and beautiful, but the execution in the world was not at all on the level?
Not so much
of the
execution, but you know, when you work for big companies, big groups, there's so many people involved in the creation. And to be honest, creation is not a democracy. You know, you cannot ask 20 people to participate to a creation. And the problem of the big groups is that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. And I remember being working at in the Gucci group, and I was working with on the first perfume of Alexander McQueen with Alexander. And we designed this bottle that I think was absolutely gorgeous, that looked like an open heart. And the name was Kingdom, which was coming from a Shakespeare quote about Little Kingdom. And the subtitle was Pierce My Heart Again. And we have this box that is gorgeous with a red seal. It looked like an envelope with a red seal. I mean, all the pieces of the perfume were just fantastic. And we were working on two scents. And I remember we came to present the two scents to Alexander, and Alexander wanted the scent that became Voulez-vous coucher avec moi. Mm. But the president of Gucci wanted the other one, which was such a hard scent, sandalwood, cumin, very hard scent. And Alexander was like, but I like this one. And she says, yes, but this one is better. And he was doing a lot of fitting, so he had like 12 models there. We spread the two perfumes on 12, on the 12 women, and all 12 said, I want this one, which is the one that Alexander wanted. And the president said, it's this one the best.
Oh my goodness.
And it was such a mistake. I mean, such a mistake. Perfume was never the success that it should have been. And it's hard to live with failure. But at the same time, you learn more from failure than you learn from successes.
Yeah. Well, no wonder you wanted to be in the driver's seat then when it came to launching your line.
So you came out with your line in 2007. And it sounds like that's why you wanted to have the freedom and the control. Was there something else that you felt was missing at that time that you thought there was room for you to come in and offer something different?
Yes. The thing is that, you know, the industry changed a lot with all those big corporations and the massive investments behind every launch. And little by little, my feeling was that perfumes were not that creative anymore, not that exciting anymore. And there was the birth of a new generation of perfumers and niche perfume houses who felt the need to make the customer understand that the most important part is the juice itself. So we needed to put the scent itself back on a pedestal, right? Make sure that that was the priority in the investment. So what they did is that they called the perfume by the ingredient to reinforce that it's the ingredient the most important. Mm-hmm. And because those niche perfume houses were small perfume houses, they took only a stock bottle, they put a sticker and a stock cap in a cardboard box, you know, because they had not a lot of means. And it was needed at that time. Mm-hmm. It was needed to show the customers that we cannot be spending all the money in smoke and forget the most important, which is the scent itself. But to be honest, that has never been the truth, never been the origin of the perfume industry. When you think about Chalimar from Guerlain, or L'Or Bleu from Guerlain, or L'Origan de Coty, I mean, the bottles were fantastic. The name were never an ingredient. When he's composing L'Or Bleu, L'Or Bleu, it's a very precise moment in Paris when the sun sets, but the sky is still lit. So you still see this beautiful blue sky. And for him, it was L'Or Bleu. And L'Or Bleu is an homage to Paris, to his love to Paris. And when he goes to design the bottle, he goes to a designer and he talks about his love to Paris. If you look at the L'Or Bleu bottle next time, you will realize that the cap is a heart upside down. But the designer would have never thought about designing a cap upside down, expressing a heart, if the perfumer Guerlain would have not talked about his love to Paris. The name, the scent, and the bottle, it has always been a triptych combined together. Very important.
The storytelling.
Exactly. That tells the story. And when I was ready to leave all those big corporations, I was actually having dinner one night at the Baccarat restaurant in Paris. And after the dinner, I stopped by the museum. It's a tiny museum, probably the size of this room. But they were exhibiting at the time 1 century of perfume Baccarat bottles. And I had such a strong emotion that night because I realized what used to be the birth of the perfume industry. And again, I had those gorgeous bottles, engraved bottles, those satin boxes and keys and tassels and fantastic names. And I was like, but this is so amazing. Why can't we do that again? Someone should do it in a way that look, feel, and smell contemporary. But this feeling, you know, this emotion, this attention to detail, this feeling of something more beautiful than life, why can't we do it? Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, why can't I do it? And that was the birth of my first collection, Le Vent Noir.
I read on your website that these bottles, and they are beautiful, we're going to take lots of pictures and show them on Instagram so our listeners can see, but they're all, you can reuse them, is that right?
Yeah, they all refillable.
Okay. Now, do you refill at counter or how does that work?
Both. You can come with your empty bottle at the counter and we will refill it for you.
Okay, so you have a fountain kind of thing?
No, we will open a refill and yeah. We will do the whole manipulation for you. So okay. We make sure that we do it in an easy way for you.
Yeah.
Or you can order online, frankly, which is also the easiest. You order a refill online, it goes directly to your house and you do it at home.
Yeah.
We have invented a new refill system today. It was 2 years of engineering, but it's such an easy way and you don't spill one drop of perfume. You just can't anymore.
Your colleague was telling me last night about it. There's no funnels, there's no pipettes, nothing.
Anymore.
It's like using
gravity. Exactly.
Wow.
So easy.
I love that you did that though, because it reminded me of some of the like Mugler, like back in
Very
the day.
True.
When they used to have the fountains, and that was so novel at that time. But it's luxury, but it's also kind of responsible. And I think Caron may have, was it Caron? Or there was another name.
They used
name
to, yes.
Years ago. So people would go to counter and be able to refill.
Yeah, my grandmother had that. My grandmother had a beautiful bottle with her initials engraved and she would go see her perfumer to have it refilled. Again, it's going back to the origin of perfumery. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm trying to, the idea is not to do luxury, frankly. The idea is to bring beauty to people's houses. And usually beauty requires attention to detail and artisanal work, and that has a cost. Mm-hmm. So that's why I made all my bottles refillable. Mm-hmm. So you pay a little bit more the first time, but then your second purchase is exactly like a normal purchase.
Yeah, they really are like pieces of art.
And now let's take a break to hear from one of our awesome show sponsors.
So, Carlene, you know that we have this wish list of dream guests. Mm-hmm. And at the top of our list is Jonathan Van Ness. Please, we're putting it into the universe. He needs to be on our show.
Oh my gosh, I am obsessed. So if you watch Queer Eye, you know, because he's the grooming guru on that show. He's definitely on the top of our list. He's so inspiring and happy and joyful.
Yeah. And in the meantime, until he gets on the mic with us, I have a way of getting more JVN in my AirPods.
Okay, do tell. I've already burned through Queer Eye, so tell me.
Okay, so JVN's audiobook memoir is debuting this month and it's narrated by JVN himself. Mm. And it's called Over the Top, A Raw Journey to Self-Love. And I just pre-ordered it on Audible and it's officially coming out on September 24th.
I really don't know how people narrate their own memoirs. I would just be crying for like baby me.
I think you need a few takes for sure.
I could listen to him for hours on end though. Okay, Henny.
Yeah.
And they do that the way he does it.
I'm really excited about it based on the initial reviews. They say it's a laugh and cry out loud memoir from the beloved star, sharing never before told deeply personal stories of growing up gay, transforming pain into positivity. I think that's what he's best known for, and embracing what makes you gorgeously different.
Sounds like a self-love pick-me-up that we all need every once in a while, right?
So for Breaking Beauty listeners, Audible has an exclusive offer for you, a free 30-day trial. So you get 30 days of membership, and that includes one audiobook of your choice and two Audible originals.
The app is also really convenient. With Audible, you can listen anytime, anywhere on the device. You can use Alexa. You can listen at the gym, while you're shopping, commuting, you name it.
That's right. And on top of audiobooks and Audible originals, members get access to these really cool audio guided fitness and meditation programs. And after your free 30-day trial, it's only $14.95 per month.
So start listening with your 30-day Audible trial, where you'll choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free.
So visit audible.com/beauty, that's audible.com/beauty, or text the word beauty to 500-500.
And there's no commitments. That's the best part. Audible members can easily exchange any title if they don't love it at any time. Members get to keep their library of listens forever, even if you do cancel.
Once again, that's audible.com/beauty to get started, or text the word beauty to 500-500.
Now back to today's episode.
So let's talk a little bit about the best-selling fragrance. What is your number one best-selling fragrance?
It's a scent called Good Girl Gone Bad.
Okay. And that is here.
Yeah.
Tell us why this one is just taken off.
Well, if I knew how to make a success. So funny enough, this is the only perfume in my collection done by Jacques Cavalier. Mm. When Jacques was... appointed, when I read that he was going to be the in-house perfumer for Louis Vuitton, I immediately emailed him and I said, I mean, it's not, I cannot not have a perfume from you. And he said, you're absolutely right. He sent me 5 ideas the next day and I chose one called Musc de Fleurs, Musk of Flowers. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to know that this is our number one seller today. It's really, do you know the French cake, the millefeuille?
Yes.
It's a millefeuille.
Like 1,000 layers.
It's exactly, yeah. 1,000 layers. So it's 1,000 layers of flowers. That's exactly what it is. And I think one of the reasons it stands out today is because nobody does those big bouquet of flowers anymore. We mm-hmm. just don't. We used to do that in the 50s, 60s. We just don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the prominent notes?
Osmanthus Absolute from China, mm-hmm. which is a Chinese flower that smells like apricot and violet. Mm-hmm. Rose from Grasse, tuberose and jasmine from India, orange blossom from Morocco, narcisse from France.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, tuberose back in there again.
Yeah, back tuberose.
It's really soft though. I just sprayed it on.
It's because of the cocoon of white musk.
Yeah. It's really, yeah, like I can, this is a crowd pleaser for sure. I can see why it's number one.
Now let's talk about another one that's popped off that is more unique.
Yeah.
This one is the one that's sold out on your website right now.
It's sold out in every store in the world right now.
So it's called Love Don't Be Shy. Mm-hmm. Tell us the story about this.
Well, actually it's a scent that I created 12 years ago. So it was the first scent I launched in October 2007.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know that in the perfume world, the sweet category is an important category. And I wanted to do a sweet perfume, but I didn't want to do a perfume that would use the same sweet ingredients as all my competitors. And every sweet perfume on the market today is based on the same accord used by Angel.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Same. And I said to my perfumer, I want a perfume where you just want to take a bite of the woman wearing it, but don't use the same notes as in Angel. Mm-hmm. So she was looking at how can she create something sweet without using the typical sweet note of the perfume industry. And one day she was doing marshmallow for her kids. And she was using a recipe of her grandmother. So back beginning 1902, 1905. And she's looking at the ingredients of the recipe and she's like, huh, I actually have all those ingredients in my perfumery, in my perfume lab. I have all those ingredients. Mm-hmm. So she sent me an accord of marshmallow. I thought it was fantastic. And we did a bit of research. And back in the days, we used to pour orange water on the marshmallow. Hmm. So that's why the Love Don't Be Shy is orange blossom with marshmallow.
Okay.
Yeah.
And why is it sold out right now, though? Because you have a famous wearer, don't you?
Yeah, there's a big buzz about the fact that Rihanna is wearing it.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it is a bit, like any gourmand scent, it is a bit of love or hate. Like you get that reaction the second you put it on. Either you're like falling in love with it or you're just like, it's not for you, right? I think that's the hallmark of a really good scent is that you have a reaction to it.
Are you absolutely correct?
Yeah.
I mean, I think a perfume that tries to please to everyone mm-hmm. has no personality.
Yeah, it's boring.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's you like have to take a risk.
It's actually like anyone, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think you struck on a really important note there that a lot of the iconic scents in history have taken big risks, you know, at the time, you know, in the context they were in. They were probably told a lot of times, don't do that, don't do that. No, that's not a good idea. They did it anyway, and it became these big success stories. Love it or loathe it, But are there some icons out there that you can't stand to smell? Any classics that you can't be around?
For sure. I mean, I don't want to name them, but there's a lot of. I mean, I think that the greatest decade in the for perfume was 1985, 1995. That for me is the greatest decade. And this is a decade when I was like 1990, 1985. It's like I'm a young adult, you know, and I'm like, this is the moment where I'm studying perfume, I'm studying my accords, and it's just the biggest decade from a creative standpoint. Mm-hmm. 85 is Poison. Then 88 is Obsession from Calvin Klein, and Escape, Eternity, CK1, Fahrenheit from Dior, Allure from Chanel, Paris, Kouros from Saint Laurent, Opium. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's all the designers. Issey Miyake, Jean-Paul Gaultier, Angel. I mean, you think about it. It's just a profusion of creativity.
Yeah.
So when you are like 22, 23, you're like, oh, this is so fantastic. But think about 1995, 2005. It's just a desert of creativity.
Yeah, the celeb fragrance era.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Beyonce heat.
Exactly, all this time. Yeah. So, but you know what? It's a good thing for us because it created a void, a need for more complex perfume. And this is where we came into play.
But you make a good point because at that time, you know, the fashion designers, they were allowed to kind of have their vision and have that fragrance speak for really what they were creating, where I, you know, as being a beauty editor over the past 10 years, there were so many disconnects that I would see where it was just like this, you know, this is a Calvin Klein fragrance or whatnot, but it really has nothing to do with what's on the runway. Like the bottle might, and that would happen a lot, but then you'd smell the scent and you were just like, this smells like...
It doesn't go together.
It does not go together at all.
But that's why Obsession, Eternity, Escape, CK1 are so great because they're intimately linked to Calvin's life. You know, Obsession is the time of Studio 54 and all the drugs and the sex and of that time.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember the first advertising of Obsession, but you would see bodies on top of each other.
Oh, I remember. They were on my wall, taped to my wall.
And the tagline, so you were clearly seeing almost an orgy, and the tagline was, Obsession, the smell of it. Then he got married. And then, you know, it was the ring. And on the ring, that he offered to his wife, he engraved Eternity. And that became the scent. Mm-hmm. CK1 was for his daughter and this new grunge generation. And that was CK1, the first unisex scent. Mm-hmm. So all the scents really mattered. And they were intimately linked to his life. And afterwards, disconnect happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. So you obviously have this, you know, you were talking about the moment for niche fragrances and this void that you were filling. And you have a really novel concept that you launched last year in 2018. And these are these scented, beautiful lipsticks that we see in front of us. Tell us about why you were inspired to create these.
Well, you know, it's not that far from everything I do in the perfume world. Because when you think about it, my job is always to create a scent, but the scent must always cover a base. In the case of a perfume, an eau de parfum, the base is water and alcohol. It has no smell, so it's easy to cover. But when you create a body lotion, the scent that I'm creating has to cover a milky base. When I'm creating a shower gel or a soap, I have to cover a soap base, and the soap is strong. When I'm working on a candle, I have to cover the wax space. And again, the wax has a strong smell. So smell, scent, and base, you know, are always intertwined. So working for me on covering the scent of the wax of a lipstick was nothing new, nothing new. Mm. The difficulty was that the concentration level is much lower. There's 2.5% concentration in the lipsticks when we are at 15 to 25 in the perfume. Second added complexity, I didn't get to try this scent too often. Although I did try in the privacy of my own bathroom.
I'd like to see the selfies
on
that.
Yeah, well, no.
Show us the kissing receipts. The mirror.
And we started with the scent Love, Don't Be Shy. Because in my mind, two things I knew. One is that lipsticks have always been scented. Always. Mm-hmm. Some scents are what we call the classic lipstick scent, which is an accord of rose and violet, which you have in all the classic brands. Mm-hmm. people feel that that's the smell of lipstick. It's not the smell of lipstick. It has become the smell of lipstick because every brand is doing the same scent. But when MAC launched, they actually did something completely different. They went for a pure vanilla extract scent.
Unmistakable. Right. Oh, yes, unmistakable.
Course. Exactly.
Lip gloss, yeah. I'll know it from my
So away. In my yeah. mind, I knew that vanilla was largely accepted because MAC is the number one makeup, lipstick brand in the world. So I was thinking, what perfume in my collection has a strong vanilla base, but more complex, more elevated? And Love Don Michai is exactly that, because the Marshmallow Accord starts with an overdose of vanilla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. And you also have scented jewelry,
yeah.
which is quite novel as well.
Yes. So for the 10-year anniversary of the brand 2 years ago, I did a few collaborations with friends of mine. The scented jewelry collaboration is with a friend of mine named Eli Top. He was the jewelry designer for Albert Elbaz at Lanvin
oh, yeah.
for 15 years. Mm-hmm. And I always loved his jewelry.
Yeah, Lanvin had great jewelry at
yeah,
that time.
Great jewelry. So for the 10-year anniversary, because he's a very good friend of mine, we collaborated and created those stunning pieces. There was a capsule collection. Yeah.
It's so cool because I've seen, you know, the necklaces with the locket. I've had yeah. those before, but you actually have earrings and rings. And so yeah. it slides
yeah,
to the
it
side.
Yeah, it slides and you place a ceramic stone that can be sprayed with any perfume of your choice.
Cool. Oh, I just assumed it was a solid, like a cream, solid scent inside.
No, it's a ceramic stone and you can spray it with actually the perfume of your choice. And we have a lot of women who actually love perfume, but say, I cannot wear perfume because it gives me an allergic reaction.
That's me.
And that's
I
a
wear
great
it on my legs, usually.
That's a great alternative because the perfume is never in contact with your skin.
Right.
Love
but you
it.
Get whiffs of the perfume
that's
every time you move.
Idea.
Now you have a new scent. It's right in front of you. It's on your website right now, and it's yep. coming into stores in October, I do believe.
Yep.
So tell us about this beautiful red scent in front of you.
So it's called Rolling in Love.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is when you love someone so much that you have this person under your skin, you know? And I wanted to have a perfume that would be what we call in our perfume industry a skin scent, mm-hmm. which means a perfume that almost changes on everyone's skin. And I also wanted a perfume that would be a complete departure from everything I have created in the last 12 years. To tell you the truth, I had approved another scent for Rolling in Love. And you know when you have a little voice in the back of your head that keeps coming back? I always had a little voice that keep telling me, it's not great. You know, you're not completely proud of this perfume. Mm-hmm. You're not completely proud of this perfume. And in October last year, I was in Barcelona and I was visiting the Picasso Museum, which is the only museum that Picasso supervised while he was alive. So you really see the evolution of all his periods. And suddenly you have this humongous break, which is the arrival of Cubism. And I kept thinking, you know, how strong and how adventurous and courageous you have to be to stop doing something that is highly successful in order to think deeply that what you have done is the past and the future, and it's not the future. And I had always a bit the same feeling that my scents, because my scents are very complex, you know, with multi-layers. And I have the feeling that these multi-layers, but I needed something different. And I called a perfumer named Pascal Gorin that I work very closely in New York. And I told him that I wanted a scent that would be completely, drastically different with everything I have created in the past. I didn't want a perfume in the classical sense. I wanted a note more than a perfume. And I wanted a monochromatic scent with different textures. And because I wanted a skin perfume, we knew very quickly that the base was going to be white musk. So 50% of the formula, it's a combination of 7 different white musk that allow the perfume to change on everyone's skins. So once that I knew my base was white, we started layering different textures of whites. And we did that by adding ambrette absolute seeds, almond milk, orris flower, white freesias, tonkabine absolute. And little by little, we composed this scent that for me it's drastically different with everything I have done.
Okay, so smell this, pass it over.
So I'm really happy because the first response that I'm having has been amazing, which is a bit of a because, you know, when you do such a drastic change in your style, you'd never know if your customer is going to follow you or not.
Yeah. I need to go back for just a second because I read with your lipsticks, and I can't stop looking at those as well, that it said first foray into makeup.
Correct.
Is there going to be more?
Yes. Oh. There is 10 more shades coming in February. Mm-hmm. There is eyeshadows, powder. I mean, to be honest, we launched in February last year. 6 weeks later, we're out of stock.
Wow.
We're still out of stock until on a few shades until we're back in stock in November.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been...
The shades are gorgeous. I'm a fool for matte.
Only reds. That's what I like. You know, and I know I have to expand a bit my palette, but the next 10 shades have more reds and reds with a slightly more pink.
Yeah.
And highly pigmented nudes.
Okay.
And some little more brownish.
Yeah. Now, do you have a friend makeup artist who's working on this with you?
No.
You don't?
No.
You're just
no, we're working
from
with Estée Lauder Research and Development.
Yeah.
And with a friend of mine who was my counterpart at Giorgio Armani. She was the creative director for makeup when I was a creative director for perfume.
I do have one final question. Yeah. You've collaborated with so many amazing people, creative directors, designers. Is there a piece of advice from any of those incredible people who have been mentors to you that sort of informs your decision-making or how you run your business that you use as sort of like a checkpoint?
Actually, I don't. I enjoy working with everyone, but I think you have to find your own path. You have to find your own way to come up with true creations. So everyone has its way, his own style. I enjoyed watching, observing, but not necessarily learning from it.
Mm-hmm. Spoken like a true creative director. Exactly.
Thank you. So much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. Visit BreakingBeautyPodcast.com for details on all the damn good products we talked about in today's episode.
And be sure to sign up for our newsletter. That way you'll get every episode delivered right to your inbox. You won't miss a single thing.
Or subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast fix.
And please show us some love by rating us or reviewing us in iTunes. See you next time. Like a cherry bomb. Like a cherry bomb.